This is Prop Point, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
What is going on? Welcome to another edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program, first of the 2025 football season, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. Jam-packed program for you. Jam-packed week of content, week and a half. Last year, when we started this here program called Prop Points, we had our first show on opening night. So we've got a little bit of a runway here to prep you for your fantasy football drafts. That's what I've been doing for the last 31 years, breaking down the NFL for fake football, but also been covering the NFL full time, obviously. So we have some picks here on the program. We're going to open it all up with some season long picks, divisional winners, conference winners. I've got Super Bowl winners. I've got a best bet at the very end of the program, which, spoiler alert, is a Super Bowl matchup. And if it happens, it's plus 500. We will also go through, in segment number two, the season win totals that really jump out to me. I believe I have five or six of them. And these are all like big time plus money win totals. They're not the actual lines. They're a little above because, again, better payoff. And I tried to pick five really good teams that I think are going to move the needle this year. Segment three of the program, and we'll be joined by our guy from Fantasy Points, the grinder, Tom Brawley. He is the betting expert, the man over there at fantasypoints.com, also a part owner of the website. Unbelievable analyst and handicapper, and he'll give us some future props here for the upcoming season. And then in the final segment, I will get into some fantasy talk here, and I'll map out your draft plan for this season. Like, are you going to go in on the quarterback? What's your plan at running back? What's the plan at wide receiver? Do you draft a tight end early? I've got it all figured out for you, hopefully, here in the final segment of the program. But we are back for year two. So for those who did not catch the program or don't know anything about me, here's just a quick overview of what we're all about. I'm all about props. I've been building stat projections for players for the season and for every week of the year for over 30 years. So right in my wheelhouse, as I mentioned last year, I literally was the first person in the history of the world to reserve playerprops.com. Unfortunately, I did this in the 90s and I held it for a while and I'm like, just let it go. But that's how in tune I am with the player props. In the 90s, I was thinking this is going to be a thing. It only took two decades, maybe more, but we did get there. I'm not a big gambler per se, but I'm a picks person. I love being predictive. I love beating the markets in fantasy and in betting. So if the markets are high on something and I'm not afraid to go up against them. I love that, beating the markets. And I basically like to try and find the answers to the test before the test. And I'll do it any way, shape, or form. I was actually thinking about a story from my high school career. It's probably not a great idea to even tell the story, but it's been three decades or more. So one time I was in a history class and I was very, 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 very ill prepared for the test. So what did I do? I stole it. Stole the test, got a 96. So I'll do whatever it takes to get the answer right, whether it's using inside information, whether it's utilizing hardcore stats and data tools, whether it's just pulling in the old gut feel. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be correct. I love being correct. Now, last year on the season, we did make a lot of picks, 169 and 38, 55%. Probably should have been a little bit better. I have a plan for November that we'll get to in November. That's going to improve these picks. But also, I've probably taken a few more picks than I'd like to take. But the thing I'm most proud about is the kind of the long shot plays that I like to pop out here. I'll do a Monday night special every Monday. I'll do a Thursday night special. Last year, we hit 47.5% of these. Now you think, oh, that's not that great. Well, I think the average payoff is like plus 185 on these. So we really did well with those. And then the touchdown props, we were up $1,400 and we hit 43% of those. So I feel pretty darn good about where we're at and where we're going to be in year number two. So let's dive right into some picks to open up the season. We'll take a kind of a broad look here and we'll look at my favorite divisional winners here. And I've got a few teams that I'm going to be talking about quite a bit here. I like the Rams to win the NFC West. That is a plus 200 situation. Obviously, it comes down to Matt Stafford. But, you know, I've watched the preseason, and I know Stetson Bennett, he does not protect the ball that well. It's a huge problem, but he looks pretty good. So I think their situation behind Stafford is a little bit better than people think with Jimmy Garoppolo and Stetson Bennett. Obviously, the defense with Verse and Fisk, who were outstanding last year. And organizationally, I think they're in really, really good shape. Not as good, though, as the Minnesota Vikings. And I love them this year in all formats, everything. Plus 320 to win the NFC North. Lions are poised to take a step back without Ben Johnson. Bears are going to need some time to pick up that offense of Ben Johnson. And I think the Packers are going to be solid, but they're hardly dominant. I think if the Vikings enjoy relatively good health, I see them winning no fewer than 12 games. Now, here's a long shot pick for a divisional winner, the Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South at plus 175. You know, I don't think it's that much of a stretch that they win 10 games. I know it's definitely a leap of faith, but I saw some good things from Bryce Young. I saw it again in this preseason. Dave Canales is good. He simplifies things. The schedule is pretty good. They've got some scary matchups, but they're all home. San Fran, LA, and Seattle. Let's move on to conference winners. Back to the Rams at plus 1,000. As confident as I am on the Vikings, let's not forget that Sean McVay beat up his old pupil, Kevin O'Connell, twice last year in the ugly playoff loss and all that. So the Rams are still formidable. So plus 1,000. And by the way, I think if you play all these, put like 10 bucks down on all these, I do believe you'll be profitable. You want to put 100 or 1,000, that's, hey, proud of you if you do. Moving on, Minnesota, plus 1,100. I like this quite a bit. Again, as I mentioned, Lions are a little weakened, as are the Bears. They're rebuilding and all that. I love J.J. McCarthy. We'll talk about him. 27-1 record at Michigan. The guy's literally lost three football games, according to my calculations, since he was 14 years old. Also over in the AFC, how about the Texans at plus 1,800? I understand that they're a little shaky here, but I don't know if people realize how good that defense in Houston is. They have a nasty pass rush, and it's almost impossible to throw the ball against them. I think Stroud will bounce back just a little bit here. And then we also have, Super Bowl. We have a Super Bowl pick here. And again, it's once again my Minnesota Vikings. We did put this in the VEASAN betting guide this summer, and I believe it was plus 3,300 when I sent it over to the guys at VEASAN about 2 months ago. I think it's probably a good sign that has been bet up a little bit, 25-1. Once again, we'll spend the entire preseason here, a lot of it, talking about these Vikings. That is my favorite team growing up. I know it's been 50 years since they've made it to a Super Bowl, but, you know, when they did lose those four or the last three, they lost to Don Shula, Chuck Knoll, and John Madden. I mean, these guys are getting like Mount Rushmore consideration. They're not going to run into anyone like that, and I think that Brian Flores is a darn good defensive coordinator who is very, very capable of, you know, coming up with a game plan that is a big time winner. I also like the Texans here, a little bit of a long shot. Again, you got to get past that tough AFC, but plus 1,800, if they can win the division, That puts them in that four seed and gives them a softer playoff matchup like it did last year. So I think, again, we're placing multiple bets here. They're not all going to win. Most of them are probably going to not win. But those are the plays that I like right now in terms of some of the division winners and all that. Very high on the Rams in general in terms of betting. Extremely high on the Vikings. And I feel like the Houston Texans are a pretty good bet here. Again, we're looking at a really good ROI. I mean, the Super Bowl bet for them is 40-1 right now. So that is not too shabby. We're going to talk win totals on the other side, but first, college football is finally here, and the NFL is right around the corner. If you want to bet this season with an edge, now is the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. New members get instant access to our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. As a VSiN Pro, you'll also get daily best bet emails from our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and full access to VSiN.com's exclusive tools and pro systems. Get it all today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That is VSiN.com/subscribe. And coming up in about 15 minutes, Tom Brawley from fantasypoints.com will join us. But when we return for the next segment, I will pop out my favorite NFL win total bets. Got about five or six teams that I'm feeling it, juiced up a little bit, pumped up. They're all like plus 150 or more. So hang tight. This is Prop Points on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. The first edition of Prop Points with yours truly, John Hansen, here on VSiN. Thanks for tuning in. First show of the year. I did already screwed something up. Got one of the lines wrong here as we discuss some of my picks for division, conference, and Super Bowl winners. Panthers to win the NFC South. That's plus 475. So you put down 10 bucks, you win 47.50. And certainly those are solid odds because it's a freaking long shot. But hey, long shots happen, and we try to predict them. We also try to predict things like season-long win totals, and that's what we're going to be doing here in this segment. Tom Brawley of Fantasy Points will join us on the other side. And it's five teams, and I went through and I studied the board, basically, over on DraftKings. You've got a bunch of different options, and none of the odds were good enough for me to just take the straight-up projected win total. For example, first team here, Minnesota. My team, I'm going to go with over 10.5 wins at plus 170 as opposed to, you know, going over 9.5, which is the actual projected win total. That's an over, barring a catastrophe injury-wise. But rather than, I don't even look at the odds. It's probably like even or minus 110 or whatever. But no, I want to win big. So I'm going to go over 10.5 wins at plus 170, which I like. And I like the schedule. Let's take a look. Opener, I can't wait for it, at Chicago. Well, that's not in Chicago, so that's good. That's a win. Atlanta, win. Cincinnati at home, win. At Pittsburgh, I'll give them a loss. At Cleveland, win. So we're 4-1. Even if you give them a loss at home against Philly, 4-2. You got Chargers, 4-3. I think they can beat the Lions, 5-3. Baltimore, that's tough. So, you know, okay, 5-4. But then Chicago, Green Bay, Seattle, Now we're 8-4. DC at home. Now we're 9-4. At Dallas, 10-4. We're at the Giants, 11-4. We're home against the Lions. Now we're 12-4. And then we're home against Green Bay. So we're probably 13-4 or 12-6, like we were last year, or 12-6. I think, as I said last year, when Sam Darnold was balling, I'm like, no, let him go. Goodbye, Sam. Congratulations. J.J. McCarthy is better, and he's our quarterback. I know that's a bold statement, but you got to take a stand. I said it last December when Darnold was balling and people were saying they got to resign. I'm like, no, they don't. No, they don't, because J.J. is really good, and J.J. had a pretty good summer overall. He just missed a couple of big plays, did very well, loved the defense. I don't think the Minnesota Vikings, honestly, and that, again, that's been my team for 50 years. I don't think they've ever been this well equipped to go all the way. I'm talking top to bottom, organizationally. Probably the best ownership group they've had, arguably the best coaching staff they've had since Bud Grant. I think J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback they've drafted since Fran Tarkenton. Literally, Fran Tarkenton, who is a personal friend of mine, and I've talked a lot of quarterbacks with him. I know he loves J.J. So, yeah, Minnesota over 10.5 wins. Let's move on. Ironically, in the same division, I do think Green Bay is going to be a formidable opponent this year for the Vikings. So I do like the Packers to go over that same number, 10.5 wins, and that's lesser odds, actually, at plus 155. The projected win total is also 9.5. Schedule looks pretty good. Opening at home, Detroit, D.C., they could win those. Then Cleveland at Cleveland at Dallas, they can win those. They could be 4-0 for the bye week. Cincinnati, Arizona, Pittsburgh, Carolina, not that worrisome. Philadelphia, it's in Green Bay. Giants, Vikings, Lions, Bears, Broncos and Denver will be tough. Chicago, Baltimore, never easy. And then at Minnesota, also never easy. This one's going to be a little closer than I think the Vikings. I think they're 11-5. Would that be? Yeah, 11-6. No, I think they're going to win 11 or 12 games. Put it that way. They're going to win 11 or 12. Moving on to the DC Commanders. Same number here, by the way. And the Terry McLaurin saga has ended, per my guy Adam Schefter of ESPN reported about an hour or so ago that we're good to go. But that's great, and you know, I certainly expected that to happen. And by the way, I'm not going to draft Terry McLaurin. I don't draft receivers who hold out this long, but I'm certainly glad that the DC Commanders are going to get their number one receiver back into the fold. I've actually been high on Deebo Samuel all year. I know a lot of people were making fun of him because he looked fat, but you know, he's a bigger dude. He's not a quick twitch guy per se, and he's been fine. I talked to Ben Standig this month, who covers the club, most recently for The Athletic. He told me that Deebo's looked pretty good. And he had a 19-yard run on a jet sweep just a couple of days ago, and he looked good. So I like that addition because he's perfect for Cliff Kingsbury, Mr. Screen Pass, Mr. Design Target, Mr. Run After the Catch. McLaurin a little bit miscast in that role. So I think they will not make it to the NFC title game again. So technically a little bit of a step back, but I think we're going to get to 11 wins when we have, let's see what we have here schedule-wise for these guys. Detroit, actually that's not that schedule. I went through it. I got the wrong schedule up here. I don't think the NFC East, by the way, is that great. I mean, you got the Giants and the Cowboys. The Eagles, by the way, ironically, and this helps the DC bet, they haven't repeated as division champs in over 20 years. And they've been good over those 20 years. A team has not repeated as an NFC East champ in over 20 years. So I think that bodes well for DC. Over 10.5 wins at plus 150. Moving on to the Niners. I'm also pretty darn high on the Niners. Ironically, this is not the greatest odds, but they have such a great schedule. I've said all year that it's as soft as a baby's buttocks, because it is. I have four kids, I know. It's a soft, cushiony, beautiful schedule. At Seattle, at New Orleans, Arizona, Jacksonville, at the LA Rams, at Tampa, Atlanta, at Houston stuff, at the Giants, Rams, at the Cardinals, Carolina, at Cleveland, Tennessee. You're playing the AFC South and the NFC South, Tennessee, Indy. I mean, this is beautiful. This is really, really good. I do worry a little bit about having a small margin for error because what if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt? Of course, they just added Brian Robinson, so that helps their depth. Trent Williams is 37. If he's not 37 today, he's going to be 37 real soon. That's getting up there. You worry about that. But if they can just hang together here and not completely fall apart as they kind of did last year, they're going to win a lot of ball games here under Kyle Shanahan with Brock Purdy, who is very, very good. I'm very high on Brock Purdy. And then last but not least, again, we're looking at season win totals, what popped out of me as good plays and bets. So I'm not going to go really over the projected win totals. I'm going to do, modified totals to get a better payoff. Indianapolis Colts are checking in here with the final selection here. I'm going to go over 8.5 wins. That's plus 190. The projected win total is 7.5. I think, look, people ask, why did they go with Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson? Because Shane Steichen is trying to save his job and win games. And I do think that Daniel Jones, for all his flaws, gives them the better chance to win games, at least compared to Anthony Richardson. I think they have an excellent receiving core. Tyler Warren has had a great showing this summer. He had a 25-yarder from Danny Dimes. I love Josh Downs. I know he's a little bit banged up. Pretty good receiving core. Best running back and running game, let's say, that Daniel Jones has had. No offense to Saquon, but I think the O-line in Indy plus Jonathan Taylor, better than anything that Danny Dimes had. So I like the Colts to make some noise over in the AFC. I like Tom Brawley to make some noise at all times. So he's coming up next. But first, a reminder, if you need a proxy, you can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts. Trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons, Winner's Circle Proxy Service helped clients win over $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. Learn more about using a trusted proxy service. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VEASAN. So I've already popped out a bunch of selections on the season. When we return, we'll get our guy Tom Brawley's thoughts from fantasypoints.com, aka The Grinder. That is next here on Prop Points on VEASAN.
With the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. First show back for me, John Hansen, the program being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And speaking of producing, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line and produce Tom Brawley, senior writer at fantasypoints.com. He's on the Xbox here at Tom Brawley. Tom, we're back. We're back in business. Yeah. Last year was a very good year, really good for you. Before we even get into your thoughts here, I want to pump you up a little bit here on your bio page. You finished plus 59.83 units in 2024. So if you bet $100, you won 59.83 using your picks over at fantasypoints.com. You also had, speaking of fantasy, you had the last undefeated team out of 3,000 entries last year in the Scott Fish Bowl. So that's just par for the course. Or was last year, was it a good year? An average year,
no,
a bad
was,
year. Where was it? Where were you?
It was a really good year. I would take next last year again this year, quite honestly. Returning any kind of profit is a good season. So, over $5,900, as you said, if you did $100 bets on my wagers there. So, really strong year. Player props were fantastic last year. And maybe it was coming on this show on Mondays and Thursdays, talking through some things that I think always helps a little bit. So, looking to keep the momentum going. We capped it off last year. The first bet I gave out was a Super Bowl bet on the Philadelphia Eagles. Had to wait till February for that to cash, but got that one home and really padded the bank account at the end of last season. So looking to do well with these futures again, but really looking forward to doing player props once the season starts.
Yeah, and we have this thing like we don't always agree. There were multiple times where more often than not when I didn't agree with you, it hit. But when we're in lockstep and when we're really fully signing off, I'm telling you, we've been doing it on Sirius XM in the morning for a couple of years here. Yep. I feel like we're like 75% when we're at lockstep. So let's get into something season long that I think we are in lockstep. The San Francisco 49ers. I just talked about how I do like them. Let's see. What was the one I liked here? That was to, I think, win the conference. But you like them for most regular season wins at 12-1. Talk about what you're seeing here with the Niners. It's got to be that schedule in part.
No, for sure. That is a big part of it here. 49ers are coming off a down season last year, finished last place in the NFC West. So for their extra games, they get the Giants, the Bears, and Browns. Unique games from the rest of the NFC West there. So three really enticing matchups. Then they have, for their crossover games, NFC South teams and AFC South teams. And I think we would agree that those are the two worst divisions in each conference there. So really nice schedule here. I am a little bit worried about some of their injuries here during training camp. It's been a bumpy August for them. They go out and trade for Brian Robinson. They have some concerns in that backfield behind Christian McCaffrey. Wide receiver. They're having issues with Juwan Jennings. Brandon Ayuk is out of the mix until probably November. It's feeling like so. I do have some concerns about some of those injuries, but getting Christian McCaffrey back, George Kittle is a all-world tight end. Our guy Ricky Pearsall. I know you've been pumping him up, and he's one of my most drafted players this summer. I think that he takes a big step forward this year. So this offense. It's not going to be the peak level that we've seen from the 49ers the last couple of years, but I think it's going to be maybe just a notch below. They bring back Robert Saleh to work and coordinate that defense, and they had some really good defenses under him a couple of years ago, and the Jets' defenses were pretty darn good, too. As soon as they fired him last year, that defense kind of fell off the face of the earth as well, so... he can coordinate defenses. He's, he struggled as a head coach, but have a lot of faith in him as the defensive coordinator. And the other thing is their special teams were god awful last year. They gave up more points through special teams by far than the next closest team. So if they just get back to like somewhere around league average on special teams, that offense was really firing last year, even with all the injuries. So, I think they have a higher ceiling than they showed last season. And this schedule this upcoming season, if they can get through the first couple of weeks, and I think they have a real chance to contend for the most wins.
We're also in agreement on the Texans. Maybe not like we're like all in, but like in terms of like potential profits here to win the AFC. I know that's a stretch, but plus 1800 is the payoff. Even 40-1 to win the Super Bowl. You know, I don't know if the markets and the people out there really appreciate how good that defense is. I mean, you've got a pretty good formula here. You've got a young, charismatic, defensive oriented coach, a young quarterback coming off a bad year, but year three, and that defense, like, I don't know how you complete forward passes against them, but what do you see with Houston?
Yeah, the defense is getting me really excited for this year, and that's why I've been on them. And they got Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, you know, rushing the passer, and then you have Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter in the secondary, locking teams down. It's going to be very difficult to throw on them this season. So if we can just get some progress from that offensive line, that's, I think at the end of the day, that's the one unit with this team that could hold them back. But they obviously felt like Laramie Tunsil was a bit of a cancer in that locker room. They wanted to get him out of town. Yeah. Kenyon Green is getting released here by the Eagles today. So, you know, he was underperforming in Houston last year. So maybe just turning over that offensive line, getting some new faces in there. Maybe that group can play just a little bit better than last year. Give CJ Stroud a real fighting chance here. We'd like a lot of the weapons at wide receiver. They go out and select the two Iowa State kids. Nico Collins is, you know, right there at the top of the league if he can stay healthy at the position. And Christian Kirk, always underrated as a number two or number three wide receiver. I think he's going to, you know, be a little bit of an outlet there for CJ Stroud when he's looking to try to get the ball out of his hands quick, sort of, you know, playing that Stephon Diggs role from last year. So I think there's a lot of upside with this offense. CJ Stroud had to come down from that phenomenal rookie season, took a little bit of a step back, but I think this year with a new offensive coordinator and revamped offensive line, new weapons at receiver, maybe this offense can, you know, get back to being like a top 10 unit, and you combine that with the defense that they do have. I think they're going to be a tough out in the AFC.
You had the Jags with the fewest wins at 28-1 on DK. We can move on from that because we're almost out of time already. I wanted to get into a prop or two, and maybe we can pop you back on, you know, later in the week or early next week. But I did see one that I'm with you on, and I'm going to do quarterbacks tomorrow, and I'm going to do this one. You like Bryce Young over 16.5 passing touchdowns. He's looked pretty good this summer, much like he looked last year under Canales when he, you know, figured it out late in the year.
Yeah, he really turned the page. That mini benching that it wasn't a mini benching. He was benched for Andy Dalton early in the season, and sometimes that can kind of ruin a young player's career, but it almost jump-started it here, and got to sit behind Andy Dalton for a few weeks, and Andy Dalton gets hurt, and gets put back into the lineup and looked like a completely different player. 4.7% touchdown rate in the final, you know, after he gets inserted back into the lineup, he had a 1.9% touchdown rate through his first two seasons there before he got benched. So, you know, took big strides last year. Now they get Tet McMillan with that eighth overall pick. He could be that Mike Evans or Drake London type big wide receiver that are plentiful down there in the NFC South. So, you know, I'm starting to really like the weapons here. If Young just plays, you know, somewhat close to the level that he played at the end of last season, this seems like a prop that he should go cruising over here. So 16.5, I think it is up to 17.5 in some spots. I kind of like it all the way up to 18.5.
Great stuff from Tom Brawley. As always, follow him at Tom Brawley on the X Machine. We ran out of time as always, Tom, but great stuff. We'll talk to you down the line. And if you think you're better than the expert, prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe contest. It's the same format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, but contestants are average Joes instead of pros. The grand prize, a spot in next year's 25 Pro Handicapper Circa Invitational Field. Sign up now at vsin.com/Joe. Your fantasy draft plan next.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yeah. It is the final segment of Prop Points already here on a Monday. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Michael Cohen for producing this program. First show of the year. Actually, not the year. The season. The last show we did was Super Bowl Sunday. You can't believe it. We're here. We did it. We made it through another off season, and this is the time to do your fantasy draft with the preseason in the rear view. You know, the final cuts come down tomorrow. So ideally, maybe hold off until after tomorrow, but I don't think there'll be anything serious in terms of a dude getting drafted in the top 150, let's say, in fantasy drafts being cut. I don't think that's going to happen. So ideally, you hold off until the final cuts are in. The preseason is over, all that. We're good to go. We're not worried about injuries or anything like that. This is it. This is your fantasy draft season. So with that said, let me pop out my, you know, plan of attack, if you will. I've been doing an article for 25 plus years. It kind of started out like people were just such novices in fantasy. Like, I don't know what to do. You know, if I go running back, what do I do then? And so I started writing this article, like, a lot of hand-holding, and like, this is what I would do. People liked it. It's kind of grown, evolved from there. And now it's really, it's just figuring out the landscape, the position scarcity, the ADP, the trends, and just looking to exploit holes and weaknesses. So let's get into the plan here. It's a, what do we got here? It's like a five-point plan. Point one is at quarterback. Wait on quarterback. I know it's very tempting. You're in round three. There's Lamar. There's Josh Allen. Those guys are great, and maybe you do get an advantage because it is very top-heavy. Top five dudes, same dudes on everyone's board in the world. Like, everyone has Burrow, Hurts, Allen, Daniels, and Lamar. Everyone has them in the top five, and deservedly so. For what it's worth, if I was going to take one of the five, I would go with Burrow. Why? He is the cheapest. I do have a little bit of a blind spot for the cheat code guys, just because I'm always a little bit worried about injuries with like Lamar, you know, and he's had some problems in the past. But the real point is, well, there's two things. Number one, right around 100 is when you can start considering your quarterback. So take your quarterback after 100 overall. And the reason I say that, yeah, there's going to be a couple of good quarterbacks. Well, the top five and a few others will linger. And a couple of stragglers will go off the board before 100. But you're still outside of the top 100. You're still looking at a myriad good options, a ton of them. So there's really good depth. Yes, there's fewer studs, but there's great depth. So my advice would be take two, and if you take the right two, one of them's probably going to pop. Here are the quarterbacks I like outside of the top 100. Brock Purdy, he's right over 100, like 107. I don't love Caleb Williams or Dak Prescott, but they're viable for sure. I do love Jordan Love. By the way, I loved Jordan Love last year, and it didn't work out. But you know, over his last 12 fully healthy games, including games last year, he's top 10 or top five in production. So I like Jordan Love to bounce back. Drake May, I'm not like all in on Drake May, but I like the vibes. I think it might be a little slow going with Josh McDaniels, but I like the left tackle pick. I like Drake May in general. Justin Fields, he does stink, but in fake football, he's good. So, you know, if you want a guy for a couple of months and then kind of see what you see, Justin Fields, very viable. And then J.J. McCarthy is probably my favorite pick at any spot because he's at 151. It's my favorite quarterback pick, not at any spot, but just in general, because at 151, I mean, that is almost a free pick. So I've been pairing Love and McCarthy. They have different bye weeks. I think they're going to get 60 touchdowns. Those guys, if they stay healthy, I think both, especially Love, is back to 30 plus touchdowns this year. Again, I'm very high on McCarthy, the same offense and environment that catapulted Sam Darnold from the basement to the penthouse, essentially in 1 year's time, is still in place for JJ. And I think he's better. Then Sam Darnold breaks down. Sam Darnold, not so great. JJ could be deadly. Then last but not least, a couple of guys, Trevor Lawrence and Bryce Young. We can draft Trevor Young, see how that works out. Probably not well. But Trevor Lawrence, 173. That's a pretty good ROI. Then Bryce Young at 188. Plan number two. I'm a little bit heavy on the wide receivers this year. I want to get two. But I also want to get a running back in the first three rounds. So I want to draft two wide receivers and one running back, ideally, in the first three rounds. Doesn't really matter the order, but I prefer to open with a wide receiver because there's only so many elites at the position. Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Amon-Ra, Puka, Neighbors, Collins, and Brian Thomas. That's it. Then there's a drop-off. I'd like to get one dude from that group. And then even in round two, if you went wide receiver early, plenty of good running back options. Josh Jacobs, Bucky Irving, Jonathan Taylor, love Chase Brown, even Kyren Williams. Then you can go back to round three, and I look at the wideouts going off the board there. I like JSN, Higgins, Garrett Wilson. I do worry a little bit about Fields, but Garrett Wilson's really, really good. Mike Evans and Devontae Adams. I am an ageist. The only way I back you if you're over 30 at receiver is if you're Canton bound. That's it. I know it seems weird, but it's worked. Like last year, I was on the fence with Keenan Allen. I'm like, nah, he's not a lock for Canton. I don't think he's going to make it. He's right there on the fringe. So, no, I'm not backing him. He was pretty good, but overall, he wasn't that great. Devontae Adams can still play. So can Mike Evans. Plan number three, step three to the plan, if you will. I want to secure a top tight end this year. I'm done messing around. In the years past, I've tried to find a sleeper. It rarely works. Let's be honest here. I mean, one time, Julius Thomas, you know, like 13 years ago, was a great pick. It's very top heavy, and you want to get, it's like quarterback. You want to get a top five guy. You're going to pay a major premium for McBride or Bowers. I'm not that into Kittle, even though he's unbelievable, because what is he, like 33 years old now? I like Hockenson. Just to put it into perspective, I have Hockenson at tight end 4 with 13 points per game. I have David Njoku at tight end 10 with 10.3 points per game. That's a 21% drop. You compare my fourth-ranked wideout, Brian Thomas, at 17.4 points a game, to A.J. Brown at 16.4, who's my 10th wide receiver, that's only a 5.7% drop. So again, there is a big drop off after the big four or five, including Hockenson and Laporta. I'm very high on TJ Hockenson. And then last but not least, the draft plan at running back is, you know, get that one running back, get that RB1 in the first three rounds, but then target a rookie probably as your ideal RB2, because I do think you get a little bit of a buying opportunity on the rookies. Unfortunately, Travion Henderson has blown up this summer because I was in on him in July, but you can still probably get him in the fourth round. RJ Harvey in the fifth or sixth if you miss out on him, or if you somehow maybe don't open wide receiver, you maybe get Amarin Hampton as your RB1, ideally an RB2, but I think you can roll with him as an RB1, late third round, still no sign of Najee Harris. That's the plan in a nutshell. Hold off on quarterback, be proactive at wide receiver, get at least one anchor running back, get a rookie as your RB2, and be dominant and have an elite player at tight end. It's the end of the show. It leads us to the best bet that I'm going to pop out is brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3 to 4 or 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cashback on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com /GBank. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off with Prop Points. It's Money Moves with Stormy and Jonathan Von Tobel. That's followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m. Then stick around VSiN Primetime, Tim Murray and Will Hill at 7 p.m. Eastern. My Best Bet +5,000 is the Minnesota Vikings and the Buffalo Bills to meet in the Super Bowl this year. Both teams right on the doorstep, right on the precipice. Both teams 0-4 in the Super Bowl. It'll be somebody's got to win bowl, and the Vikings, I think, will take it. That's Prop Points. We'll catch you tomorrow on VSiN.